For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Behaviors in the Church, as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5? Paul is a spiritual father to Timothy, Timothy's mentor. He looks upon him as a son. In fact, he calls him his son in the faith. Timothy has been left in Ephesus to oversee the church that Paul established there. While he is in Ephesus, Paul wrote to him this epistle. And in this epistle, he seeks to instruct Timothy in things of the church, in a Bible doctrine class in seminary, you would have a subject known as ecclesiology. And they use the epistles of Thessalonians and Timothy for their ecclesiology classes. For as Paul said in verse 15, how that he has written these things in order that he might know how he ought to behave in the house of the Lord. So as we get to chapter 5, he deals first of all with Timothy's behavior towards the elders, men, the younger men, the elder women, and the younger women. Rebuke not an elder. Timothy was a younger man. He told them, don't let any man despise thy youth. And here Paul is telling him not to rebuke an elder, but entreat him as a father, looking upon him as a father, and talk to him as you would a father. Entreat him as you would a father. Older people, I think, naturally resent being told by younger people what they ought to do or being rebuked by younger people. So Paul said, don't rebuke them. Entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brothers. There is a right way and a wrong way of calling a person's attention to a failure in their walk. The wrong way engenders strife, resentment. The way I present it to a person can create an animosity. Be careful that we don't build walls and barriers by the way in which we seek to correct someone. In dealing with the younger men, Paul said, entreat them like a brother. Treat the older men like fathers. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Timothy was evidently unmarried. Paul tells him in another place to flee youthful lust. Treat the younger women like sisters. And then honor widows that are widows indeed. And now Paul seeks to define for Timothy who are the true widows. If any widow have children or the word nephew should be translated grandchildren. Let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So the first responsibility, and Paul will repeat this again, for the welfare and the care of the widows lies upon the children and the grandchildren. Now, the church did take upon itself the responsibility of caring for the needy within the body. It was a part of the ministry of the church. You remember in Acts chapter 6, where the Grecians came to the apostles and they complained that their widows were not being dealt with as bountifully as were the Hebrews at the administration of the church's welfare program. And so there was a taking care of the widows by the church. But Paul seeks to define who are really qualified to come under the care of the church. If a widow had children or grandchildren, then it was their primary and first responsibility to take care of their needs. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, now these are the ones that the church is to take care of, one who is a widow indeed and desolate, who's trusting in God and is continuing in supplications and prayers night and day. And that is really the qualification for those widows that were to be taken care of by the church. They really were given a ministry within the church. And the ministry within the church was the ministry of intercessory prayer. And so they trusted in God and were continuing in supplications and prayers night and day for the church and the work of the church. How grateful we are for those prayers of the older women within the church. I really feel a tremendous loss here at Calvary with the death of many of these older women who held the church up in prayer continually. We had a blessed group of older women, many of them widows, who have now gone to be with the Lord, but who had this special ministry of prayer and supplication night and day. Paul said, in contrast to those that are living in pleasure are dead while they still live. I think that one of the most reprehensible things going is a dirty old woman. Now, I think dirty old men are bad too. But you know, there is something about an older lady that there should have developed that softness and that beauty. And you see some beautiful older lady who is a grandmotherly type, and then you hear her talk and she's using profanity and all, and there's just something that doesn't set right. It's just not there. I think that you usually think of the older women as mothers, and the way that some of them talk or act, it's just really reprehensible. And one of the saddest things is to see in Las Vegas these old ladies standing there at these one-armed bandits just working those things all day long with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, you know. I mean, that just isn't, in my mind, the picture of what old ladies ought to be doing. There is a beauty that comes to that older woman who has been walking with the Lord. There's almost a sacredness. I love to just sit down and share with those who have been walking with the Lord through the years. And from their mouth there pours the richness of God's love and God's goodness through the years. Widows indeed. But those that are living for pleasure, those poor gals in Vegas, they're dead, Paul said, while they're still alive. I mean, they may still be breathing, but man, they're dead. And so is anybody who lives for pleasure. Spiritually dead, though they still may be alive. And these things, Paul said, give in charge that they may be blameless. For if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is, if they do not take care of the members of their own family, if they do not take care of the needs of those of their own family, really they have denied the faith. Honor thy father and mother, the scripture said, and you've denied the faith if you refuse to take care of your elderly parents, grandparents. Now, let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man. Now, this special ministry for widows, it seemed to be a ministry that was set aside in the church. And it was something that was an honored position. It was more or less a lifetime commitment by the older women to really give themselves to the burden of prayer and the prayer ministry for the church. And there was almost an office for the widows of the ministry of prayer. They were supported by the church. They were put on the church's payroll, and their duty was just to continue night and day in prayer and supplication for the church. And I'll tell you, the church would be wise to hire the widows to do that. Be profited by that kind of a ministry. A lot more than probably some of these young men that we put on staff who don't know quite yet what they're doing. If we had some widows that we put on staff just to pray for the church, a valuable asset. Any of you widows looking for a job. So let the widow not be taken into the number, that is this special ministry group who are cared for by the church, who are under 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, who are well reported for their good works. These are their qualifications. They've got to have a good report that they have been doing good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Great qualifications. Then there was this special area of ministry for them. But Paul said the younger widows, don't take them into this special company. Refuse them. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having not damnation, but condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. So Paul says that the younger widows should marry. If they are brought into this special company and ministry within the church and then should leave that, fall in love and so forth, having made that commitment to Christ, having put the hand to the plow, turning back, they would feel condemned. Not good. It is better that they just go ahead and marry and bear children and all and not be brought into this special company of ministering widows within the church. For if the church is taking care of them, they're apt to be just going around from house to house, becoming idle and tattlers and busybodies, speaking about things that they should not be speaking. So, better that they marry, have the responsibility of bearing their children, guiding their houses, and it then gives no occasion for the enemy to speak reproachfully. For he said, some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, if any man or woman that believes has widows, let them take care of them, and not the church be charged, that they may take care of them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Now, this indicates that there were other ministries for the older men besides just teaching the word and teaching doctrine. But these older men, these older saints, accounted worthy of double honor. Again, even as the older women are a tremendous blessing to the church, so those older men who have walked with the Lord for years can be a tremendous blessing to the church. How I thank God for the ministry of the older men in this church, the blessing that they are, the ministry that they have, and they should be accounted worthy of double honor. For the scripture says, you are not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his hire. So, the double honor to the older men. Them, and against an elder, receive not an accusation unless there be at least two or three witnesses. Don't take one person's word for it. Let there be two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also fear. Now, I'm afraid that if the church practiced this open public rebuke of the sinners, it would create no doubt a fear, but it might also create an empty church. You remember when the woman was brought to Jesus, taken in the act of adultery, and they said, our law says, stone her, what do you say? And Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And he began to write on the ground. It doesn't tell us what, but I feel certain that he was writing the names of the individuals and the sins they were guilty of. And it says, they began to leave from the eldest to the youngest until there was none left. And if there was an open rebuke for sin, and we started going down naming everybody and naming the sins, it would create fear, I'm sure, within the church. When I was a young man, there was a man that I admired very much. I admired his ministry, Dr. Clare Britton. He was a medical doctor as well as a minister. And at a summer camp, I listened to him one year, and he was saying that he could look into a young person's eyes, and the eyes are so revealing. They tell everything that the young person is guilty of. It's all there in their eyes. Man, I was afraid to look at him. didn't want him to see everything that was there. Now I charge thee, Paul said, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without preferring one before another. Do nothing by partiality. We are all of us children of God. And as such, each of you are equally important to God. There are no second-class heavenly citizens. To Jesus, you are as important as anybody else. And it is the church's business to follow the example of Christ and to show love, appreciation, honor, respect, and all to everyone without partiality. We're not to say, hey, he's got big bucks, you know, treat him good. And the church is guilty of sin before God. Paul is pretty straight with this. I charge you before God and before Jesus Christ and before the elect angels. I mean, it's a heavy duty charge. Don't show partiality. Treat everyone alike. How opposite that is from the natural tendencies. If someone is a professional person, oh, he's a doctor, oh, he's a chief of police, oh, he's a lawyer or something, and oh, he's very wealthy, you know, and there is that tendency to, oh, you know, show little favors, and oh, well, why don't you come and sit at our table, you know. James also wrote saying, have no respect of persons. God is no respecter of persons. And we're not to have respect of persons. James says, hey, someone comes in, you know, and they're well-dressed and, you know, wearing diamonds and all. He says, you say, hey, come on down. Take this nice seat down here. Some guy comes in rags. You say, hey, sit in the corner, man. Don't, you know. And he said, that's wrong. You see, in the eyes of the Lord, we are all the same. God doesn't look upon me with any greater favor or honor or anything than he looks upon you. It is a tragic thing that the church has set up certain men that we say, oh, well, you know, look how close he is to God. We are equally close to God. We are equally in God's favor. God is no respecter of man's persons. And we are not to be either.
In his in-depth study of the book of Acts, Pastor Chuck Smith shares the foundational principles he witnessed while seeing the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in the growth of Calvary Chapel. These aren't just observations. They are time-tested, Spirit-led truths that reveal God's heart and purpose for the church today. The Acts commentary is more than a verse-by-verse study. It's a guide to understanding how the early church moved in power and how we can too. Whether you're a pastor, a ministry leader, or simply hungry for a deeper understanding of God's Word, this book will strengthen your walk and deepen your understanding of the church's mission. Order your copy of the Acts Commentary today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The Acts Commentary, discovering the power and purpose of the early church. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and may the Lord strengthen you through this week and may the Word be as a fire burning within your heart as God ministers to you his truth. And may your life be purged through the Word, cleansed. And may you walk with the Lord in beautiful fellowship. And may God grant to you opportunities of witnessing and serving him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Timothy 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Church on the edge of town. Do, 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 do. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.